Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer, and today's topic is putting finance in FinOps. How about we bring Donnell onto the show? Donnell, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John.
All right, Donnell, putting finance in FinOps. Well, isn't finance and operations FinOps? Isn't that the same thing? Talk to me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, it's kind of the forgotten child in the FinOps personas piece to a degree. The practitioner spends so much time trying to engage with engineering and get the buy-in and getting them to take action that the finance person is almost an afterthought. So it's trying to kind of bring them more to the forefront of the conversation is an important piece that they feel the love also.
Well, going on with your shirt, feeling the love a little bit, how do you get them to feel the love? Do you start in the finance section or you start by engineering?
It's all about observability, really, because I suppose in the past, the finance folk, they had a really tight control on cloud spend because it was on-prem. There was all these CapEx kind of levels of sign off as they went for the CapEx applications, and they went through all those levels depending on the level of spend. Now all that is pushed to the edges of your organization, and you've got engineers writing lines of code, spinning up these machines, and it's kind of, they can't do anything to stop it, to stop the bleeding, and it's too big for them to get an understanding of, because as you mentioned, data, it's all about data. Like, you look at the CUR and it's thousands of lines wide, millions of lines long. An accountant or someone in finance doesn't have time to unpick it, or doesn't have the wherewithal to fully understand it. So it's about making that digestible. We make it digestible for the engineers so they can make better architecture decisions. So we need to make it more digestible for finance to help them as well. Because the biggest thing a finance person wants is they want to see their costs, and they want to see steadiness. They don't want to see any crazy spikes, because whether it's massively above or massively below budget, they will have to, at the end of the day, they're the ones talking to the CFO to explain why it's different. And FinOps then needs to be able to give them the tools without getting too technical to be able to understand where that variance kind of lies.
But shouldn't finance kind of adapt to what the cloud infrastructure is meant to be, that ever-changing environment, right? So we're going to have those spikes. We're going to have those cost influx, migrating, moving things over. Shouldn't finance be okay with not being able to see what a steady state looks like?
They should and they shouldn't. So finance are comfortable with something changing if they know why it's changing. So that's where something like unit economics comes in really handy. If you can see that our workloads that are tied to customers that are revenue generating are correlated to our revenue or users, they can explain that variability and they understand that. And then the dev and test, they can also understand that in terms of our pipeline of features and applications are being built out. So we need to invest there for future growth. So giving them the tools to explain it at a really high level without having to get into this is the blend of serverless or Kubernetes and all that sort of stuff. Like, we don't want to get them lost, but giving them a couple of talking points to talk to the CFO, because we're trying to kind of bridge that gap, is a really important thing. And then they will get that level of comfort. But it's not just, the cloud is just one part of what's within their purview as well. Like, the public cloud, while when you're in FinOps, you think it's the be-all and the be-all and end-all of everything. But in actual fact, it's a small piece of the wider puzzle. Like, you'd have your IT budget, and then AI comes along, and all of a sudden, the business wants to know, what are we doing there? That's coming from the same pot of money. Same with private cloud. If licensing changes are happening there, that's going to take from your budget as well. And these are all the constraints that the balls that the finance person has in the air that we need to take into consideration and think from their perspective as well.
Donnell, when we talk about finance in the traditional sense of a data center, the finance team looked at the CapEx over a period of time. 5 years is usually the typical thing where they spread out the cost. When you're moving to the cloud, that is very hard to do and spread over a five-year period of time. I mean, look at generative AI. That you could not have predict where it's going to be, and how do you account for those hidden costs or those unforeseen things that happen, though?
It's quite hard, because of the OpEx impact. And also when you think from a finance and accounting point of view, the CapEx hits your balance sheet and then it gets depreciated, which is below the magical EBITDA line, which is your earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, which effectively is how you value a business. Whereas your OpEx sits above that. So all every dollar you spend on the cloud is impacting your EBITDA, impacting the business value. Whereas before, with an element of financial engineering, there is some deep technical accounting pieces required to see how can you take that public cloud investment and spread it over time, because it is naturally it'll just all fall under OpEx, which is flowing through. And that's why it gets so much attention as well from a CFO point of view. Like you might be spending the same on your on-prem data center versus your public cloud, but your on-prem is hitting your depreciation, so it doesn't really matter as much. Whereas every single line on a P&L is being scrutinized, and as well with zero interest rates and those kind of pressures, a thing of the past, all those margins get tighter again, and everything gets. You can see it actually in the FinOps survey that was carried out this year. For the last 3 or 4, the first 3 or 4 years it was done, engineers taking action was number one. Now it's like number five, and the first four above that are all about accountability, observability, budgeting, forecasting. That's the rubber's really meeting the road now, in terms of the numbers.
How is FinOps going to address these challenges, though, and be able to help finance out or put finance back into FinOps?
I think a big part of it, and the focus framework will play a big part in it, especially for larger providers that have that multi-cloud footprint. Being able to aggregate that information on a consistent basis across clouds. You can even bring in we're seeing some SaaS pieces being brought into that as well. So the purview of FinOps is almost increasing to give that observability to finance. So they can have a more granular understanding of a wider piece of the IT budget. Whereas before it was like, that's our SaaS licenses that are up for renewal and the cost is the cost. Whereas now because we can leverage some of the FinOps tools for the public cloud to some of the other areas that historically wouldn't have had the same level of observability. And by teaching them a little, it's kind of, you can build on those learnings that you've already helped build, so they get a better steer of it, which helps the CFO have better discussions with the CTO and the CEO. So at that C-suite level, you're having those conversations whereas before, the CFO wouldn't have been armed with the same level of information as they can have today.
Donna, you talked about observability, visibility, and the level of visibility for CFOs. Are there specific suggestions or tooling that will help the finance show this data, even at a high level, that would be valuable so that they can be armed with it and say, hey, listen, CFO, here's what we did. Here's where our increases were at because X, Y, and Z, we have it all under wraps.
It's quite a hard one because everything eventually gets boiled down to an Excel sheet. No matter what level you are, like
That's
that's
so
true.
true.
So you can have all the data in the world and it'll end up being a couple of pivot tables on an Excel sheet. And the trick is trying to find out what are the metrics that matter at a really high level, and then trying to give a level of granularity below that to be able to deliver insight. If you go any lower, you'll get lost in the weeds, any higher, and you're not answering the key questions. So it's about and this isn't Rome wasn't built in a day. This will come over time, and as you iterate and improve and understand the business and what the C-suite exec is looking for, you'll be able to hone your message. But it all depends on that level of granularity, because if you aggregate at the wrong level, then you can't get to the insights that you need, or conversely, you can't get that you can't bring it up to what you want either and show everything that you need. So it's a tricky balance, and focus will help a lot.
Talk to me a little bit more about focus because I'm aware of it. I know some of our audience is aware of it. I think it's a huge and great initiative for everybody to kind of try to follow it. And it definitely will help like the finance, the visibility, because it'll simplify things.
Yeah, I think kind of having almost a single pane of glass across the pieces, where when you look at networking or computer or whatever it is, you break it down to a common metric, it'll allow for like I know we did a with a former employer, we did a big renewal of one of our cloud providers, and we wanted to tell, are they more expensive or cheaper for compute on demand? And you're looking at the basic instance types across the main regions, and you're trying to do a comparison there, but there's multiple regions and there's small variations between the different instance types. So you're never really comparing apples to apples for that negotiation piece. So I think even from that base perspective, it'll offer a lot. You can then look at stuff like ARM being cheaper on one provider versus others. And if you're running AWS, but you've got a lot of Windows machines, is it worth moving across to Azure? So you can start having those multifaceted discussions, whereas at the minute, you're only looking at one in a silo in isolation. So it's harder to see that bigger picture.
I think one of the biggest thing that Focus does is, regardless of the cloud provider or hyperscaler that you're at, even, and I think it will work in private cloud as you start to associate costs with certain VMs and instances, is compute, storage is storage, and these are the line items. And we kind of boil it down to, this is the same terminology between all of them. And now we're able to ingest this data and provide more visibility, not only into the engineering, but into the finance teams.
Yes, and finance love a single number. So our and has it gone up or down versus budget versus last month? And if you can have that compute number as opposed to them having to look across three providers and break it down that way, it is a lot more difficult. So as you said, that single pane of glass will have a massive impact.
Donnell, I got time for one more question. And my last question for you is, let's talk about some of the macro considerations that finance folks may have outside of the public cloud. Maybe like budget, maybe cloud reputation, licensing charges.
Yes, they have a number of balls in the air. Like the interest rate changing and shifting underpins everything. So a couple of years ago, it was a very different world. There wasn't as much of a focus on the figures and the numbers. That it still was important, and FinOps was a key pillar, but it's getting a lot more observability now than it was before. You're looking at your single pot of money to cover any AI developments that you're doing in your business, any of the licensing changes that are done with the software that sits on top of your private cloud, as well as like any changes that have to be done to your actual underlying product to keep it competitive, to keep the features up to date, to build in these, whether it be there's a level of AI washing to a degree, but you need to bring something into your product or you're going to be left behind. So these are all consideration and trade-off. It's like that iron triangle that engineers have. Finance people have the exact same. They have a budget that they have to hit. If you're over, you need a really good reason to say why you're over. And unless you can justify that from a business perspective, you're not going to get the funding.
Isn't there always some type of hidden cost or hidden thing that comes up? I forgot to account for this licensing. We've spun up more additional resources. Oh, it's renewal time. Things that haven't been accounted before from the engineering side, but also finance doesn't have that visibility.
I get a cold sweat when I get asked that question, because anyone that's been through a budgeting cycle is very familiar with sandbagging. So everyone will say, this is my number. Oh, I cannot possibly go any lower. And then you get from the top down, cut your budget by 20%. They cut it by 20% and they still make their number. So it's this cat and mouse element of it that exists since the dawn of time. So you would hope that there is an element of that baked in. And if there's not, if people are being good corporate citizens and really going from the bare bones up, that's not necessarily the case for every BU. So it's very hard to level set then, because everyone's playing the game and trying to leave enough in the back pocket in case something like that does come up. So it's a tricky one. Cat and mouse.
I've been through a number of budgets, and managers would be like, all right, throw everything in here. I mean, everything that we've got, because he's like, you know what? They're going to tell us to cut it anyway by 20%. So if we throw everything in, even if you have a wish list, just throw it on top of it. But now I think the transparency for having any forecasting or budgeting within cloud is very key within the finance and FinOps visibility that you're talking about.
And it's done way more often as well. The iterations are quick. You're doing it weekly. So you're looking at your number and how it's shifting. So the opportunity for there to be a big bang and a big surprise is far less than it was before when you were only looking at it once a year, because they could have been anything in there. Whereas now you can see the incremental changes over time, see the breakdown of what's driving revenue and what's dev, and then see you're saying this is going to increase by, your dev is going to increase by 10 or 15%. Why is that when it's been steady for the last 18 months? So with data, with great power comes great responsibility. You can hold people to account, but if they've got a good enough reason for why something is moving, then you can build that into your budget case. So there's less place to hide. So it's a really good point about the observability piece.
I know I said one more question. I know I'm out of time, but real quick, what's your feelings on chargeback, showback?
It has to be chargeback. Like showback is, you're just, it's like, so what? Whereas if it's actually hitting people's budget line, it makes a massive difference. From an accounting point of view, it's a bit of hassle with the posting the journals and stuff like that. But compared to the buy-in, it's a lot of a harder, it's kind of like tagging. You can say, oh, everyone, please tag your resources, and no one does it. Whereas if you say, you can't spin up a VM unless you tag it, or we can't find who owns this, so we'll turn it off, you get a much different result. Softly does not get there.
Yep, you get full accountability once you start to charge back, once you start to say you can't do things without tags, everything, you get accountability into the resources they're using and why.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, everybody, I got to wrap this. Donnell, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify, because guess what? We're out of here.